What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's interesting, how the Cook thing came about. All these injured players, and then they get out to the field, and it's, you know, James Cook's in street clothes too.
Right.
And he's walking around with the head trainer. All right, I wonder what's going on there. Elena Getzenberg, ESPN, asks, hey, no practice?
Right.
And his response was, business.
Right.
So, the hold-in begins.
Yep. Assuming there's no wiggle room on it's definitely a hold-in, right? It's definitely a hold-in. Business couldn't be. I think, would we have known or learned that this was true since that, hey, what if business just means the guy's in the final year of his contract, and if he's got anything that he's dealing with, he would, I don't know, say that that is business?
Right.
Treat that as business? I tend to think that that's probably not the case, but I guess we could find out for sure from Brandon Bean a little bit later on this morning, so mm-hmm. We won't have to wait too long for that. But I've left a little bit of room for business to him means I'm staying healthy.
Could be.
Could be.
Could be that they're –
because how weird would it be to hold in the middle of training camp? How often do you see that as opposed to you're either not there at the beginning of camp or your hold-in starts? Whoever practices in full and is there to show up at the start of everything, mini camp mm-hmm. and training camp, and then just randomly, you know, August hits and in the middle of camp – that's when the decision, I mean, unless there was like some breakdown and contract talks, I guess that could explain it. Because otherwise, it's strange. It's just not what you typically see from these other situations around the league.
Yeah, it's not, guys don't get to camp, practice, and then go away. The Bills have yesterday at least, had no comment on it. You know, we didn't find out until after practice. McDermott could have gotten out ahead of it if he knew.
Yeah.
You know, does practice start? And he gets out there and sees what's going on with James not wearing pads, not wearing a jersey. What's this about? So, I don't know. Is it weird that I had the optimist's take right away, which was maybe they're really close, and he saw a bunch of guys get hurt in the last 7 days, and thought, all right, now that we're right at the doorstep, I'm gonna just wait until this thing is done, and. I'm trying to think of examples of that in other situations where, oh, yeah, we're close. I'm just going to make sure I'm not going to go out there and, you know, get a high ankle sprain right before I sign on the dotted line for $30 million guaranteed, blah, 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 blah. That's what I would do, right? I mean, maybe you would not be afraid of injury, but if I was getting closer and closer and closer,
right,
it would be now I have to be more and more and more careful. I'm thinking about a story way back when, I forget which, is Dan who's the pitcher who tore who got Tommy John right after turning down a contract? Dan somebody. It's in Jeff Passan's book,
Ooh,
The Arm.
I don't remember.
Dan played for the Diamondbacks. Dan Heron. Does that sound right? Dan Heron?
Okay.
I don't know. It could be wrong.
Tommy John, though, is very different than, like, high ankle sprain, right? Like,
sure,
it would have
sure.
to be a devastating injury, I would think, to get a contract that was on the table basically thrown out.
Right, right.
Like, does a three-year deal that pays him $12.5 million a year go away if he gets a high ankle sprain tomorrow?
No, but the high ankle sprain is, you know, like Hairston dodging a bullet.
Right.
Right. With Hairston, we were afraid it was going to be some sort of season-ending ACL. Turns out, oh, it's only LCL. So the Bills have a lot of injuries, and so far they've only had scares. With Cook, again, it's just speculation that could you be closer? And
right.
there is a report. Tom Pelissero laid that out, that the two sides have been in constant contact, and the feeling is not that far apart.
Right. That was the feeling.
Sure, if you're not that far apart, is there one last ditch effort from either side to pull something back? Or I don't know. It's tough to know exactly the inner workings of it. I don't want to profess to know any more than I do because I don't. But I feel like the big story is James Cook not practicing. He's holding in.
Yes. Yeah.
Not that far behind is Tom Pelissero saying they're not far apart.
Right.
Because if they're not far apart, doesn't everybody have to kind of recalibrate your expectation out of this? You might have thought, what's James Cook doing? He's an idiot. He's not going to get anywhere on the Bills. But if they're not that far apart, we don't know what number he's come down to. We don't know what the number of the Bills are offering is. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's a deal that's going to find its way to getting done.
Maybe. I mean, it would imply something that I have not assumed, which is that there is an active negotiation going on, wouldn't it? That because I have wondered all along if the Bills have wanted to pay him at all. Like, give a look of, hey, we love you, we want to keep you around, and we're willing to offer you this and this, which are almost offers that make it look like you value him on the long term when in reality your goal is just to get him to play on the final year of the contract. But if you're not close, or if you are close, then that's not what that sounds like. That sounds like you have been in an active negotiation for months.
Which is kind of what Bean sounded like last time he talked.
Right.
He was talking about how if it's not him, it's someone else in the front office. He kind of painted a picture of constant contact.
Right.
And I feel like if you're far apart, you wouldn't have constant contact. So, all right.
Right.
Now you're constantly in contact. Now I've got Tom Pelissero reporting that the two sides are not far apart. So, okay. That to me is, again, not the bigger story. Pelissero's report there, I hadn't heard it until I heard Joe Marino reference it. And then we went looking for it, and there, you know, we found it. It wasn't a tweet. It was just something he said
right.
when updating that Cook was, in fact, not practicing. So, you know, like, I am.
It could be. It really could be either. Wouldn't most take away, though, that if you are not there, something negative has happened? That you either, you're not believing that the deal is going to get done, or maybe you were close and then something fell apart at the last second? Because that could happen, too. I mean, how often does a hold-in like this mean something positive? I'm not saying it can't be the case, but it would almost imply that maybe they were on the doorstep. I heard, was it Pelissero that said it was fourth and goal at
yeah.
the one?
Yeah.
I mean, one thing about fourth and goal at the one is if you don't get it, turnover. So did he think, all right, here we go, we're about to finalize on this deal, and then something got in the way of that? Like, because that, I feel like something, if you are close, something's got to spark you deciding I'm not practicing, if that
right.
indeed is what this is. So maybe that could be recovered, because really, that could even be a bad thing. I don't know how the Bills would take that. The Bills have never had that happen to them, have they?
No.
A player deciding, I'm sitting out of practice in training camp because of a contract situation. That has never happened to this regime for the Bills. I don't know how they're going to take that. Maybe they were fourth and goal at the one, and then Cook deciding, I'm not going to practice. Maybe that backs them up to the seven, because they don't like that way of business. So I think it does still kind of leave a lot of this in ambiguity, but I can't – it would be hard for me to believe that him deciding I'm not practicing is a good thing, even if the idea from Pelissero that they were close in the first place is a positive sign. So that's kind of where, like, oh, they were closer than I thought. I might end up back where I was in the first place, which is – okay, I didn't really think they were ever going to be that close. Oh, they were that close. Oh, but now he's not practicing. Oh, I guess I went forward and then right back to maybe where I was in the first place.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they're not that far apart, again, no one would think that the Bills have come up close to 15, right? This isn't 13 right. versus 15. I don't think it's that. Could it be 11 versus 13? Could it be? I mean, if you're Cook, you're making 5.2 this year, and if your next contract doubles your pay and gets you good guarantees, and you're off by 1.5, like maybe the Bills will. That's the other thing about this. Sorry, I'm distracted now here by this one thought, which is, what is the Bills' move to lean on him? There isn't one.
Right.
He leans on them by sitting out. All right, doesn't have to work.
Right.
What's their move? Here's our offer. Oh, you know what? They could say, we're going to pull this offer by the end of the week. That's the kind of thing you could do in a contract. Say, like, listen, here's the latest offer. If you don't accept it by Friday, it's off the table.
Yeah.
Then what? They take it off the table, and he says, all right, I'm holding in.
That could be the case. That could be the case. That's an ultimatum.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if they typically like to do ultimatums.
Well,
I have no idea.
Deadlines make decisions, right? Deadlines mean you're going to make someone make a decision. So outside of pulling an offer, what do the Bills have that they could lean on Cook for? So it's all very interesting. And is it a big distraction? Sure, I guess. The Bills are missing half their team with knee injuries.
Who's Josh? Who's Josh? He doesn't have his running back right now. He doesn't have, like, five of his receivers.
Yeah.
Christian Wilkerson is getting snaps with Josh.
That's our guy, Christian Wilkerson. So
that's where they're at.
Yep.
It's getting thin.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Give us a ring. Quick point on this, though. DJ in Virginia writes in on the chat, first episode of Hard Knocks should be exciting now. This is not the first episode.
I was going to say, this ain't
this happened yesterday, and the first episode airs tomorrow. So this is not on it. There might be some background about how he is here for his contract, and we will know. Well, then the next episode might be more interesting. But, you know, the one that comes out tomorrow is going to be start of camp.
Yeah.
And what? Injuries. It's going to be KJ Hamler's mic'd up. You know.
I think so, right? They have a quick turnaround on those things, but I don't think 2 days of a turnaround. I don't believe. But episode 2, you only got to wait one more week.
That's right.
Man, appointment television. This is going to be weird for me. A show that's on at a certain time, and you've got to watch it right then and there. Game of Thrones, maybe, is the last show that I watched that was like that.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Appointment television. Here we go.
Because Hard Knocks before, I would just watch after the fact.
Yeah.
Like, if I ever watched the Giants one or the Bears one, this feels like 9 o'clock Tuesday. Got to get to it.
Excited.
Yeah.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We've kind of run through some of the potential Cook news and what it could ultimately mean.
It's still, though, he's not there at practice yesterday. Is there anybody that believes he would miss regular season games, though? Anybody? Because I would be floored if he missed regular season time. Like, yesterday, of the things that we learned and what happened, I would have more doubt about Khalil Shakir playing week one than I would have about James Cook playing week one. Or not playing week one, I should say. And I think Shakir, 4 to 5 weeks, he played through this injury last year. I would believe he's back by week one, too. I have no belief that Cook would miss games for this.
No, I don't think so either. And does Cook know that? The Bills know that?
Which is kind of what it gets to. It's interesting what the point of deciding now to hold in would really be.
It's for us. It's to let everybody know.
Yeah.
The only reason he would do it would be for us. If these were closed practices, and I guess he could sit out a closed practice, but still, the whole charade or the whole thing is about it's for us.
Right.
I want everybody to know business. We're still in a business negotiation. Yeah, I showed up. I did my part. I've worked out. I've practiced. And I want everyone to remember business.
That I'm still looking for the deal.
Does he come in today in pads? Or whatever, if they're wearing pads.
Well, he said yesterday that business would be today, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Well.
He got asked, will you practice tomorrow? And he said the same thing.
Is his business to now play every other practice?
I mean, like. But at that point, like, what are we doing? Are we playing games at that point?
Well.
Like that's more playing games to play games than you just decide, all right, something happened contract-wise, I'm just not here. Like that's not as much playing games. That's just, this is my decision. I'm trying to get this money. I'm trying to get this deal. I don't think it's happening the way that this is trending. So, all right, I'll be on the sidelines. You let me know when you want to talk. I'm not going to practice Tuesday and Thursday, and just I think that would get really weird if he were to do something like that. But we already kind of are in a place where it's a little weird.
Yeah, a little bit. 803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550.
Should put a bet up. Does he demand a trade at any point? Because that ends up being what happens to these guys that want contracts.
That's a move.
Isn't that the next negotiating tactic?
Probably.
I don't know what else next would be.
It is.
If he's that desperate for a deal and wants it that badly and the hold-in doesn't work, then take it from who's done it? Miles Garrett's done it. Trey Hendrickson's done it. Micah Parsons has now done it.
We talked a lot about
Terry
Parsons.
Terry McLaurin has done it.
Friday we talked about Parsons, and pretty much as soon as we were off the air, he demands a trade.
Yeah, so right. And a long letter against the team, which is kind of like what Miles Garrett did.
Yep.
None of those guys got traded, by the way. So, you know, again, it could be more of a negotiating tactic, but I wonder if we'll get to that point where we get a report from like someone that James Cook is it's expressed interest in wanting a deal. And it's not him really wanting a trade. It's just him doing the next step of the contract negotiation.
Yeah. Who knows? Hey. I guess
when's the last time a Bill demanded a trade? The last time a Bill demanded a trade was when?
That's a great question.
Did Bird do it? Jarris Bird? Or was that just a franchise tag?
That was a franchise tag.
There was no trade demand?
I mean, Jabari Greer, did he got... No, I... The last Bill to demand... Jason Peters, I guess.
That is a long time ago.
That's a long time ago.
That could be right. That could be.
And that wasn't even really public so much as... I don't know if it was public or not. Last Bills player to demand a trade. I don't know that.
Like, Lynch got traded, Marshawn Lynch, but he didn't demand a trade, did he?
No,
he just got traded because they had Fred and CJ.
Yeah, that one, I think the Bills were the movers on that.
Yeah.
Diggs is the answer. I don't know that that's so much true as it was the other way around. Like they.
Yeah, and maybe there was a little of both. A
little of both.
But even that's not, if that is true, like, give me like a Schefter report, you know, at least.
Right.
Like there was no public trade demand from Diggs ever. So you could believe one way or another if he actually did, but like these guys, Garrett and Parsons and McLaurin, like this is out there. Mm-hmm. This is, I'm telling the world that I want to be traded. And I can't remember the last time that happened with a Bill. Quentin Spain? Is that a name? It's like such a minor name. It was like he was a starting guard for the Bills.
He got cut?
He got cut, but didn't he? Maybe not. Maybe I'm misremembering. Again, maybe there's not a good answer to this. Maybe it's been a really, really long time.
803-0550, your phone number. Let's get a call in here. Steven in Williamsville has decided to jump on early. And, hold on a second. We're working on it here. But
Josh might have
to punch up Steven for us. Uh-oh.
That's why.
We're all over the place.
I'm still here.
Go ahead.
I'm still here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. All right. Sweet.
All right. So I have an idea, and I was talking about this with my buddy. Also, love you guys. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I have a series that Hard Knocks coming in here. They're looking for like an angle, right? Every time they're trying to promote something, got something going on, you know, selling something. I personally think that James Cook is playing it, and this is just my personal conspiracy, but he's playing it where Hard Knocks episode coming on Tuesday. Now he's holding out. Now Hard Knocks has an angle being like, oh, there's drama. There's something going on. They're going to be covering this type of stuff. because like the, let's be the, honest, the Bills,
like the agent Bills would have said, like, here's our chance to strike for the attention.
I think so. I think it was a perfect storm for him, right? You're like, he's going to get the national coverage. Millions of people tune into this type of stuff. He played the long game, waited right before the first episode, because Tuesday, right? Tuesday, I think.
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
This week, yeah. So maybe there was some behind-the-scenes things that he kept that maybe they got, I don't know. And then he came out publicly and then obviously held out himself on practice. But that's the angle for Hard Knocks, because let's be honest, like, the Bills are a very tight ship. You know, they're very close knit. They're very family oriented. What was the angle before that? Like, talking about the secondary battle, like, that doesn't draw views. Now there's this selling point on this entire thing where people are like, can we tune in and see if we can get an insight on this Cook contract issue? So I think the timing is it's too perfect when I look at it from a production angle.
Sure. Well, thanks, Stephen, for this. Conspiracy theory. You know, we'll take it. Do you want to just like get attention? Hard Knocks. How many years has it been on? 20?
20, at least.
How many holdouts have there been public on Hard Knocks? I don't know. I haven't watched it every year. Revis. Who's on Hard Knocks last year?
The Bears.
Okay, and
don't remember anybody holding out.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't remember
many. I don't know that they're – listen, for the first time, Hard Knocks got itself a playoff team, a good team. And I don't think that they're out here desperately seeking controversy. They're not mad about it. They're going to tell the story of camp. And if camp is an injury, or if the story is injuries, or if it's this, to me, all of this is interesting, but I'm going to go just short of saying, isn't it more interesting that Pelissero said they're not far apart? If there'd been no report of Pelissero saying that, and it's just the same, and Cook sits one day, then you could sit here and tell me, listen, they've told him, buzz off, we're not paying you. Instead, I've got the context of not that far apart. Now, it's possible that, you know, again, when we're talking about these negotiations and all this, and teams love to say they don't negotiate in the media, and then it happens. Who tells Pelissero they're not that far apart? One side could say it. Yeah. And when you say it, it makes someone like me think, well, then let's get it done. So do the Bills tell him we're not that far apart? And James Cook thinks, yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. So.
Right. Do they disagree on what far apart is?
Right, right.
In the first place?
Right. In this whole conversation, it's been his one tweet about $15 million. I feel like that got so much attention that people needed to kind of get off of that. Like, that's not a hard, you know, if I don't get 15, I'm sitting out the season. When he was asked about it, he kind of even said, I don't know why I wrote that or tweeted that. So would he take 12 and would they offer 10? Is that not that far apart? So the conspiracy, like, I get it. And the attention, the agent, you know, they want to, of course, make it clear what's going on. But to me, that part of it is a really big deal.
How many times have we seen Cook take a handoff and within a half a step, he's kind of hesitating, sitting there. Then he's back behind it. We saw numbers where Cook ran weak. He ran weak more than any back in the league last year. That's what he sees. That's what he does. So to just say, hey, we're not going to sign him. I don't care if he plays. Ray Davis start. Well, if you watch Ray, he's downhill. So he doesn't have the patience that Cook has. So while Cook is hesitating, then gets back behind it, Ray's probably running into guys because he's not letting it set up. There's a way that these running schemes all fit the style of the back. And if you go to a Ray Davis, you better start forcing doubles, maybe even going to some power to where he can get downhill and put his foot in the ground and go. There's a lot more that goes into it than just saying, hey, the O-line's great, so anybody back there works. Nah, it's not the way it is.
Former Bills offensive lineman Jerry Ostrowski, 100 games in the NFL with the Bills, on the differences in the Bills running backs and how it is not as easy as just, oh, the next guy goes in. You know, call the same plays. He went so far as to say, in our conversation yesterday, I'm talking with Jerry and Joe Marino on the Bill Squad show, that He went so far as to say that Aaron Cromer would have to change the way the line blocks. If Cook's out, he's the one that runs it like that, so they don't call those plays. Not that they would necessarily be bad doing it, but just it is a bigger change than just that. And, you know, the idea is that Cook does indeed optimize what this offense does.
Mm-hmm.
So not as easy as just get him out, get somebody else in there. You'll be fine. Toss Darrington Evans back there behind that line. He'll be running through those holes. Not so.
That's really never going to happen, though, right?
What's that?
Ray Davis starting for the Buffalo Bills. Because this year,
you think they would replace Cook if Cook left?
The Cook replacement is not happening now.
No.
Right? Because he's going to play one way or another. I mean, it's possible he is holding in right now.
Yeah.
So it's possible he sits out games. I'm currently not taking that seriously. The idea that he is not going to play games for them this year.
Agree.
Either because they don't have a I think either there's a contract by then or he's returned. So he's playing. And then next year will show up, and if they haven't paid him and he walks, they're going into the season with Ray Davis as the starting running back. He would have had to have a whale of a season, I think, for them to commit to him being like the number one without doing something else at the position. So I'm not saying that Jerry is wrong there at all. I'm just wondering, is Ray Davis ever going to actually be the plan for their top guy?
Yeah.
He's a change of pace guy. He's a physical guy. He could be a short yardage guy.
But if
Cook walks, they're doing something else that probably will try to replace what Cook does.
That's probably right, because think of it this way. Haven't they always sought the Davis? If Davis is the more powerful change of pace, they did that with Zach Moss. They wanted that.
Right.
Not that they're exactly the same player, but they did that with Moss.
Frank Gore,
bit. They did that with Damian Lewis.
Damian Harris, sorry.
It was Al Harris, then went to Lewis.
Latavius Murray, big guy.
Desperate, but yeah.
He was big.
But
he
so they have sought out that more powerful back as a compliment.
Yeah, Moss is really the one. Yeah, Moss was Moss a third round pick. They already had a starting running back, and he was a very specific type of player.
Yeah, he said he wanted to make defenders make business decisions.
Right. So, like, I think that that point is right about Ray Davis. I just don't think Ray Davis is ever going to be the guy unless he takes a big step and kind of commands that himself.
Yeah.
It's not like they put a big asset into him. It was a fourth-round pick. It's not nothing for a running back, but it's not a big contract. It's not a day-two pick. It was a fourth-round pick. So what do you do with a fourth-round pick when your starter leaves? You usually pair him with another guy to create a committee if you don't actually even go even further than that, and a guy that would definitively be over the top of him. So I'm not really that worried about what they would have to do to change with Ray Davis in there, because I think Cook's the running back this year, and if Cook's not here next year, I think they'll be somebody else I'm excited about.
Yeah. Is this absurd to look up free agent running backs next year?
I don't think it's absurd. I know Jonathan Taylor is off the top of my head. Or I think he is. Pretty sure. What would be absurd is to look up draft running backs, I think, for next year. That would be absurd.
There was a caller to the afternoon show yesterday that suggested the Bills should have planned better for this, and if they had drafted a running back, they'd be better prepared for it. You think there's any feeling on that? The one thing that Brandon Bean told Chris Brown yesterday on One Bills Live was that between the draft and camp, that they had very minimal contact, right, with the agent.
Right.
So
yeah, right.
It kind of went quiet for a while, and maybe things picked back up around training camp. And at the beginning of this training camp, Bean basically said like, "Oh yeah, we're in contact." Tom Pelissero pointed out that he didn't feel that the two sides were all that far apart. So you know, talks had opened back up.
Yeah,
and then this curveball gets thrown in here. I mean, Breece Hall's a UFA next year. Could you see the Bills going after Breece Hall? I think so.
I think he does a lot of what Cook does, right? He's explosive.
Then you have to get to the conversation of, if you have the opportunity to pay Cook and extend him,
why wouldn't you just do it?
As opposed to, right, going into the free agent waters where you're almost always going to overpay in free agency because you have to compete with all the other teams.
Yep.
Right now, Cook might be asking for an overpay, but you just have to convince one player.
Well, I don't know how much they care about this one particular thing, but if you think... that, I'll pay a running back, but if I'm going to pay a running back, the guy's got to be the most mentioned point about James Cook as to why you wouldn't pay him is, well, he doesn't play half the snaps. He's not on the field for me all the time. Where is he on the last couple plays against Kansas City? These are the points that are made to why you wouldn't pay him, because he doesn't pass protect. He's got other guys that got to come in and do other parts of the job. So he's not a workhorse featured back. The size maybe is a part of that too. So he doesn't play half the snaps. Breece Hall plays 72% of the snaps. That's your difference. Breece Hall doesn't come off the field. You get him, and if he stays healthy, he's your running back in every situation. So that would be the difference. And also, would you have to pay him much more lucratively than you would pay Cook? I mean, statistically, Cook's been better. I mean, Cook had more touchdowns last year than Breece Hall has in his career. So statistically, it's not there.
Right. There might be some factors there.
Yeah, the Bills are a better infrastructure for a running back, I think, by a lot.
Yes.
But maybe the Bills would think, if it was that direct a comparison, you would try to capitalize on that. Like, oh, Cook's going to go get paid because in this system, he put up crazy numbers. We think that guy, who went like almost a full round higher than him in the draft, is actually as good, if not even better, but he's been playing for the Jets. So his numbers aren't as good. Let's capitalize on that. Let's get him at a lower number because he's only got 14 touchdowns in his career. And he's never had 1,000 yards, even though we've seen it against the Bills. That dude can run. He's explosive.
Mm-hmm.
So
his rush,
that's an idea.
If you want this, I sometimes we'll go to this. Rush yards over expected per attempt last year.
Mm-hmm.
Breece Hall behind Ray Davis.
Really?
Yep.
That's surprising. Okay, well, I don't like that. I don't like that part.
I mean, whatever. Like that stat doesn't have to be the end-all, be-all, but
yep,
he is behind Ray Davis.
They would they not? Well, I guess they could. I was going to say, would they do something like that if Cook walks, Breece Hall, a running back of that caliber, or they'll draft a guy? But either way, there will be an idea for me. Like, there will be a Breece Hall. There will be a third-round rookie, well, maybe a second-round rookie. But there will be someone else with Ray Davis.
I hope you're prepared for the first-round rookie.
Right? I'm not prepared for that.
Is everyone out there ready for
it? I am
not. It's been a couple years. It's been a couple years since the Bills mock draft having a running back.
Listen, for draft conversation, I would love to have Cook not be signed next spring.
Yeah.
Right? If he's not signed next spring, I mean, it depends what happens. If they win the Super Bowl, we're just probably doing that.
Right.
But otherwise, aren't we spending 2 months on whether they're going to draft a first-round running back next spring? If it's apparent Cook is leaving, well, we'll know actually. Free agency's first. If Cook's gone, and it's just Ray Davis and Ty Johnson,
yeah, running backs.
We're talking about running back in the first round for a month or two.
It's definitely on the menu.
Yeah,
second round.
I mean, it's been almost every time they've needed a guy. When Travis Etienne is in the draft in the first round, I mean, he's a finishing piece.
Breece Hall was the guy that was mocked them. They didn't take him. They end up taking Cook that year, right? Same draft class.
That's right. So. That's my overarching thought, though, is that I'm never getting to Ray Davis as my lead back. I don't think that's ever in the cards unless he forces that. And for him to force that, he'd have to have, I think, a pretty incredible year.
Yeah.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Also, let's call it your Hard Knocks postgame show, right?
Yes.
Hard Knocks postgame show, which the most controversial imagine me coming on saying, like, it wasn't good. React. Call. Is there a person?
Puff piece.
Right. That might be true.
I think, though, it could be that and also good at the same time.
Yes.
There are good and bad puff pieces.
That's right.
Say.
And I also feel like, the introduction to the team, because while we know the Bills, it is a show that is, whatever, national, international.
Yeah.
And if you're a football fan and you don't know Josh Allen, you don't know Trey White, you get an opportunity to meet the Bills a little bit. Sean McDermott, Bobby Babbage, Joe Brady. Is it wrong to say it was just great seeing coordinators swear?
That was pretty good. Yeah.
That's how you know that they are feeling comfortable in a room.
Uh-huh.
Not that it's good to do that, but if someone is talking about something good, something bad about it on film and they drop a word, they're not allowed to all right, I feel like that's a level of,
mm-hmm.
That's a look you don't get.
This is a genuine meeting.
Yeah.
When you get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To some degree.
You got that out of McDermott, or not out of McDermott, out of Babbage and Brady.
Both
yesterday.
Of them, yep.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. You and I were both at the premiere. There's an event at North Park Theater on Hurdle Avenue where they had some of the directors and, people to just show you exactly how it all worked. Mm-hmm. And whatever. It was. I thought it was great. I loved it.
It was. Was it? I asked this on Twitter right after. Was it as funny as I thought it was, or was that because I watched it in a theater full of people where that could be infectious?
Great question.
I think it was probably funny, right?
Yeah.
They're hilarious.
I thought it was.
Aren't they?
But yes, I thought it was very funny.
Compared to other teams, especially past Hard Knocks, like Dawkins for that with the drifting, and Trey White, I mean, obvious potential star of the show, I feel like, in the making already. And then, I mean, KJ Hamler was great.
Yep.
The scooter scene is hilarious, and that's a great job by HBO on that, too. So I think in terms of that, like, entertainment value, the personalities that were involved, I feel like Dawkins and Trey White especially are the two that, hit a home run. You hit a home run with those two in the episode yesterday.
Yep, Trey White back. It feels, whatever. It's the kind of thing that watching this show, if you're someone that thinks, like, this is our year, this is the magic, it'll definitely play into that. There are a couple things I wrote down as notes, if you will. One is, and I talked about this on my walk home, because we live close enough to walk to the North Park Theater. I was walking home with my wife, and I said, maybe we don't talk about it enough, or maybe people feel like every 30 minutes we should say, man, what a time to be alive in the era of Josh Allen. We do say it often. Mm-hmm. There are games last year where we come in on Monday morning and say, I can't believe we get to watch this guy play.
Yeah.
It's just incredible that we get to. As humans, never mind, like, he's on the team that you like, and you kind of have to pinch yourself all the time. And what's the famous line? How is it possible to not be romantic about baseball? Something like that.
Yeah.
There's something about imagine not being romantic about baseball. I felt that last night about Josh Allen. Like, imagine how is it possible to not be romantic about the Bills starting quarterback being as amazing as he is, as engaging as he is, like everything about him. It's, we sometimes are going to sit here and argue about a contract for a running back or
the defense needs to be more aggressive.
Yeah.
Or wide receiver evaluation in the draft. And all of it is just kind of covered by this umbrella of, yeah, man, the quarterback is unbelievable. Truly unbelievable to watch him play.
Yep.
They showed some of his highlights from last year, and you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that one. Oh, I remember that run, too. And, oh, the play against the Chiefs, the play of the year, as Nance shouts that out. And I'm just thinking, you know.
Yep. The lateral play, the jumping over Buda Baker.
Yeah. It's just –
And, I mean, you probably could have filled that with 5 more minutes
yeah.
of things that are still incredible if you really wanted to.
Yeah. It's truly incredible. It is really, truly incredible that we just get to watch it all the time.
Yep.
And it's normal. Totally normal.
Like, right. Like, it really is. I mean, how much have we said his name this training camp?
Yeah, right.
It's because we're so used to it.
Right, that's
like,
right.
He's going to show up, and he's going to be incredible, and he's going to jump over people, and he's going to make perfect passes, and he's going to be in the MVP conversation, and they're going to be winning the division, and they'll be playing big games in the playoffs every single year. And they said it. McDermott and Bean said it on there when they were interviewed. Like, the stability of this organization is, like, on his shoulders. And he's carried it and done a phenomenal job with it. So, there's that. There's both ends. There's one, man, like, look at this guy. And two, it is this team. This is the whole vibe of, like, the thing yesterday. Like, this team just has to win the Super Bowl. They have to win the Super Bowl. Like, at some point here. Like, it doesn't have to be this season.
A Super Bowl.
Like the fan part of yesterday and the players that are involved. I mean, the two guys they highlight the most outside of Josh Allen, Dawkins and Trey White, those two have been here the whole time. They're here before Allen.
Yeah.
I mean, Trey White leaves for a year and is injured for another year. But they're here on the drought-breaking team, 2017. And they're still here, and Dawkins is still playing at a super high level. And, like, they've been here the whole time. Allen's been here almost the whole time. Like, just gotta win one. Gotta win one. I feel like, too, a lot of people that aren't Bills fans could have watched that yesterday and felt the same thing.
Gotta.
Like, I hope they win one. Like, the fan part of it and those players being highlighted and the Mr. Brightside part of it. Like, this team just looks like a lot of fun. Right?
Yep.
Didn't that kind of the takeaway? Like, it looks like it's a lot of fun to be on this team.
And you have people that work on the Hard Knocks show saying that, and, you know, I don't know if they give these platitudes to each team every year, but, yeah, you really get the feeling that they are really a close-knit group and really tight and, you know, that kind of stuff. How much does it matter? It's definitely better to think that and feel that than the opposite. Everybody hates each other. At the end of the day, the Eagles win the Super Bowl, and I feel like everybody
hates
they hate each other. But they hate each other in the way that some family members hate each other. You know, like, oh, I hate my cousins, or I hate my brother, or I hate my parent. But, right, the Eagles made it work, and they win a Super Bowl. And here, that might have been the case in, I don't know, some relationships that have come and gone. But, you know, everybody just kind of – it's been such smooth sailing. It's a point about the culture, whether it's McDermott's culture or whatever. I was thinking about that idea, too, like culture. And that used to be a thing that we would argue about. And now we just don't. And part of the reason I would argue about it is because I could, 17-year playoff drought, I could only hear so many times, oh, this guy's going to do it differently. All right, fine, great. Let me know when they win.
Right.
Well, now they've done it. And we just don't even really ever talk about it because they've established, McDermott uses the word program. Our program.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I like that. That's really what they've got here all the way from, you know, listen, like the St. John Fisher here is a part of it. So to see training camp, I guess if you're someone that, you know, you're a Bills fan, watching this show is like if you came to camp but had awesome seats.
Yeah.
The hitting.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, Joe, there's times we're out there on the field, we're watching, and I know that they're playing full speed and they're going full pads, but HBO does a great job of driving home how much it is still in some spots physical. And guys are huffing and puffing, like Dawkins saying every year it gets heavier, right? Like the idea that they are out there and they really are working out there. And sometimes, you know, if you're just thinking about it, like, yeah, they're practicing, right? Like, yeah, they're working. It's hard work. And Allen talking about, like, 2.5 weeks, give me all you got to get ready for the season, then we'll go back and start to continue to get ready. I just think it's not only a big-time presentation of the Bills, it's a big-time presentation, I think, of NFL training camps and how much these players really do devote to them. And how going away to camp and being on a college campus,
yeah,
like all the things that can offer to a team. So I couldn't say enough about how great I thought it was.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We also, of course, have the Kyren Williams contract with the Rams, which, you know, many that have paid attention or are in the know would suggest that Williams and James Cook could be in the same financial ballpark. Yep. And Williams got his deal done. Did not hold out or hold in. Just got his deal done. It's 3 years, $33 million, 23 guaranteed, like $11 million. And that looks like, for I think many people, a sweet spot for James Cook. It is worth pointing out that they are very different in the way that they are valued. And Joe's digging up some numbers from Pro Football Focus on this. And I'd like to put it up in a Twitter poll, but I can't. Because I don't have enough characters to explain it. I got 25 characters, and I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
But you made a really good point, I thought, how the Bills should not pay Kyren Williams $11 million.
No.
And the Rams probably wouldn't pay James Cook $11 million, but switch their fits.
Yeah.
And they should. Williams, hilariously to me, it's utterly hilarious, his rushing yards over expected on the season – on 316 attempts,
yeah,
is zero. That is amazing. Right. That's as amazing to me as Reggie Bush finishing a season with negative rushing yards for the Bills. Zero on the number. Yeah. He got handed the ball 316 times. His yards over expected, zero.
Yeah.
I like to point out that Cook has been top 10 in that number on yards over expectation per attempt. Which, by the way, Kyren Williams, of course, would be zero expected to be.
Yes, the math on that one's pretty easy,
right,
I think.
Very easy.
You do zero divided by the amount of carries.
Cook is top 10 in the last two seasons, and the names he's with are the good running backs, really.
Yep.
He's up near the top. He's closer. You want to say, like, oh, he's not Barkley. No, he's halfway between Barkley and zero. He's at 0.8 per attempt. Now, you don't have to get bogged down in these numbers, but Cook is right there with Jahmyr Gibbs, Bucky Irving. He's above Josh Jacobs in this department in yards over expectation. He does not face a lot of light boxes. That's something that Kyren Williams actually does get, is they run a lot of 11 personnel there, yep, and they spread things out. Like, Cook is a far superior runner.
Yeah.
But Williams plays all the time. And the Rams pay him to be
a pass blocking
back. That's why they are valuing him so high. And again, Stafford's injuries are part of what they need him for. Last season in the NFL, running back pass block snaps, James Cook had 11. He was on the field 11 pass block snaps, according to Pro Football Focus. That's it. And he had a good grade in it, but like the grade when you're only playing 11 might not even be that useful. Kyren Williams pass blocked 153 times last year.
Yeah.
More than 10 times more than Cook did. I mean, Williams is really like the only guy in the league that does it that much. He had the most last year at the position with 153 pass block snaps. Bijan Robinson. 107.
Yeah.
153, 107. There's only four guys that were over 100. And Williams is at 153. So, right, like, he is a average runner. But he is...
He gets on the field because he's trusted.
Yes. He's trusted to help protect a quarterback that they might be terrified is one hit away from retirement.
Right. And he currently has back issues, Matthew Stafford. It's almost like what the Rams are doing with Williams is they're paying two running backs in one body. Like, we have an average runner
kinda.
And a guy we trust all the time. So why do we pay him $11 million? Because if you're the Bills, you might have to pay two guys for those two jobs. Your runner of the football and your guy that you can put out there for pass blocking snaps.
The other thing that does a little bit too, and I wonder what the numbers would look like on this, going out for routes and being dangerous in the pass game. Not that Cook is piling up the numbers as a receiver in the last couple of seasons, but I remember when Kyren Williams came into the league and he was a pass catcher. Like, or that was a part of his game. And one thing that hurts your numbers by blocking 153 times, that's 153 snaps where you're not running a route, where you're not going out for a pass to be either a dump-off option or something on a wheel route. So he ends up only getting 182 yards receiving last year, Kyren Williams, which is nothing. And it might look like, well, he's not dangerous at all in the pass game. I think he has more there. It's just he's not a team where he'll never be able to do that because he's got to stay in and block. So I think it all kind of adds into the same point though of Cook is Kyren Williams would not be valued at $11 million with the Bills. I don't even think he would be a name. Like, he wouldn't be a name in the league, certainly. Would he be Ray Davis? Would he be Zach Moss on this team? Because if one of his biggest skill sets is he's going to help protect your quarterback. I have a quarterback where that's not really that necessary. And that actually kind of is a defense, I think, of paying Cook, is why do you care that much if he doesn't pass block when you have an amazing offensive line and the best quarterback maybe in league history at avoiding sacks?
Yeah.
Why do you need a running back to block?
No, what you might need for this specific usage is the explosive back. That's the thing he brings to your team.
Yeah.
Interesting. Buff in Dallas. Hey, Buff, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Man, this kind of reminds me of Thurman Thomas when he initially came to the league. He wasn't a great pass blocker, but what he did bring, like you said, elusiveness, his ability to catch the ball down the field as almost like a slot receiver. They utilized him, and that's what Cook brings you. So I compare him to Thurman Thomas. Cook has that home run speed, and if we don't assign him, I mean, give him the 15. But if he doesn't live up to that contract, we can always bring him back to the table and restructure the deal. But, you know, it's too close right now. Allen in Super Bowl, I think you need Cook in that offense because if we don't have him, we don't even have another home run hitter on this team on offense. But Khalil Shakir, but other than that, I mean, everyone else is just, they don't give you that top-end speed like Cook.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Thanks, Buff. Well, coming up at 9:30, we're hoping to get Jerry Ostrowski to jump in here. He's going to be at training camp today. And we played a clip from him earlier in the week. You know, you could talk about home run hitter. You could talk about the way the Bills run the ball. I don't want to say it's like this is like a dig scenario where, hey, when you're passing a lot, which the Bills were at that time, having your number one receiver is really important.
Yeah.
Now they're a much heavier run team. Having the best running back on the team is going to be important. This is a team that passes to the running backs an awful lot. They hand the ball off an awful lot more than they used to. And Cook is an explosive play. Touchdown regression, maybe. That might come. Maybe he gets 10 this year. I don't know. But don't teams have to commit to stopping him, knowing he's a home run threat, knowing the Bills have an elite offensive line. Like, if you are a team defending the Bills and it's Ray Davis versus James Cook, one of those guys is a home run hitter and one of those guys is not a home run hitter, at least not yet. Davis has had a couple of nice games. Ty Johnson, they've got good speed. Like, these are good, to me, supplementary backs. And if they were to not sign Cook, like, okay, could still have a great year. They could squeeze everything out of him. But the thing that Jerry said, and we'll ask him about it again to explain it more at 9:30, they would have to change their offense because the way they block for Cook is not the same as the way they block for the other two guys. Cook's skill set fits what they do very well. He gets the most out of their offensive line. And I like to go back to this point a lot. I just think so often people want to treat it as only one of the things has to be good. Allen is so good, you don't need good receivers. The line is so good, you don't need good running backs. What you want is the best everything. The salary cap does make that tough sometimes. But writing it off as like, oh, the next guy will be just as good because of the line, that is not correct. Like, you might have a good running game. It won't be as good. And I might, to a fault, be leaning on yards over expectation. But to me, I look at the top of the league in that stat, Joe, and it's all the best running backs.
Yeah.
Who's number one? Barkley. Who's number two? Derrick Henry. Or maybe it's the other way around. And they're up at, like, you know, Derrick Henry's yards over expectation per run is almost two.
Well, and part of what helps Cook in that category, even though it's not 100% the case, because in the previous two seasons he was also good in that stat and didn't have this.
Right.
The breakaway runs. The
right.
breakaway runs are going to help you a lot in that category, but those are meaningful. Those are valuable.
Yes.
Those are runs that not everybody in the league is going to run away from guys on. Those are runs in the league where some won't even get to the hole on, where, you know, what's that run he has against the Patriots at the end of the season where he goes for 40 yards. What's the expectation on that run? Like six? Like, oh, there's a hole.
Yep.
Oh, but then he bounced through it and he cut left and he outran the safety to the end zone.
And you know,
right, there's 30 yards over expectation, but part of that is there's a lot of running backs in the league. Maybe Ray Davis, maybe Kyron Williams would be an example of this, where it's going to be a good run. He's going to get six, but he's going to get caught by that safety.
Mm-hmm.
And Willie and Cook might bounce it outside, and then he's gone.
Derrick Henry's yards over expectation per attempt is 1.7.
Per attempt?
Per attempt.
It's pretty good.
That's nuts, right?
Number one in the league last year?
Yeah, number two is Barkley. Number three?
No, number one I have is Lamar, NFL Pro. This is including quarterbacks.
Okay, including quarterbacks, okay.
And he's at two.
Gotcha.
I don't see Josh on this list.
Jordan Mason, by the way, third among running backs in that metric. How do you like that?
Part of Josh's problem might be the QB sneaks.
Right. Expectation one.
Right. Like, he, how many plays does he get exactly what's expected?
Yeah. Scott in Toronto. Hey, Scott, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Love the show, guys. Just wanted to two things. I want to give a shout-out. On the way to training camp, my father is 80 years old today and first time at training camp, lifelong Bills fan. So happy birthday, Keith. And right. Secondly, with respect to James Cook, I really hope the Bills do not pay him. If anything's been proven in this league, the most interchangeable position is running back. It was a very strong draft for running backs. There may be somebody even on the waiver wire we could pick up to bolster the running back room. And I think my only question for you guys, I don't know if you know the answer with respect to that, but what does the salary cap look like, assuming it doesn't go up or down for next year? Is there dead money coming off? Is the opportunity to pay him next year there? Is that the reason why Bean is reluctant to open up the vault? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Scott. On the salary cap, the Bills are already up against it next year. They just paid a bunch of extensions, so that's part of it.
Yep.
But you can count on the salary cap. There's even like a 5-year timeline, and teams are operating like this. This has been one of the stories we've kind of started to dip into. The Eagles have pushed money into 2030 because the salary cap. The NFL is going to get out of these media deals. They just picked up a 10% stake in ESPN.
Yep.
I mean, that deal itself, I don't know. That's above my pay grade. I'll have to do a little bit of research on that. It's not to say the cap isn't real. The cap is real when you move on from a player earlier than expected. That's dead cap. Dead cap is – I almost feel like sometimes it's looked at
as whatever. What is it really? You're paying for the money you've already paid a player. Dead cap is we paid Trey White less than his actual value for a bunch of years. Then he left the team, and we had to pay the rest of that.
Yep.
It's the bill coming due. And, you know, Josh Allen is going to be here forever, so they can keep moving that money down, and they're going to keep getting more and more money and more and more money. I don't necessarily buy any idea that they can't do it because of the cap. They can definitely do it because of the cap.
They can't do it because of the cap, but do they not want to do it because it is true, though, that every dollar you spend on Cook is a dollar you cannot spend in that future cap on a different
– sure.
If they have in their minds, like, man, I'd love to do that Micah Parsons deal right now, but I just don't have the ability to do it.
It's just
– hey, maybe in 2 years I'd like to sign a $40 million pass rusher, and if I continue to sign players for $10 to $20 million, guess what I can't do? I can't go pay that pass rusher that's available in 2 years. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is right now, but in 2 years I can't sign him because I decided to sign seven players between 10 and 20.
Who's the third highest cap number? I'm looking at cap numbers for the Bills next year. Like – you can make that point on Cook if you want, who, if he signs a three-year, $11 million deal, what will his cap number be next year? What, like $5 million? Dawson Knox's cap hit next year is $17 million.
But that's what I mean. Like that eventually is going to come round, and I've got so many of those, that level of deal already.
That's right.
Am I going to draw the line on it? And they haven't drawn the line on it yet. I mean, this would be it. This would be where they finally have.
I have one solution, potentially.
Uh-huh.
Draft receivers.
So I think in 2017, that team was defined by people don't believe in us, taking a group of players that were maybe cast-offs from other teams or maybe written off. They were Bills players but written off, and I think that team... I think anytime you have that, you can go on and do more than people expect. And going back to last year, that was a team that people did not expect us to win the division or go and win 13 or so games, be in the AFC Championship game. I think that says a lot about our staff, number one, and how we develop. But also, you know, what happens when you feel a part of something bigger. That said, I don't think you can live in this underdog mindset, even though, you know, chip on your shoulder, yes, but I don't think you can live in that world, especially when you become good. I think you have to have this internal belief that, yeah, we are good, we are legitimate, and, you know, we'll see where it goes. I think you have to, within that, also be consistent day to day, knowing if we're favored and all that type of stuff is for the outsiders to look at. But at the end of the day, we know who we are, we know who we're trying to become. And, you know, it's going to be a journey. There's going to be some highs. There's going to be some lows.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. I love that answer.
Yeah.
I love that answer. You just can't say you're an underdog all the time. We're good. This is paraphrasing there, you know. 2017 and maybe the year they make the AFC Championship game for the first time. Now you live here. And there's a point to be made there. Good morning, by the way. Jeremy and Joe, we're live at St. John Fisher, our last show from here. It's the last practice from Fisher this year. And you know how it works. Like, last year was a year the Bills could kind of dabble in nobody believes in us. Never mind, they were, of course, picked to win the division, second in Super Bowl odds or third. But they could dabble in it. People think this won't work. And, you know, whatever, that's fine. If you watch The Last Dance, you watch Michael Jordan find motivation, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I like McDermott saying, like, you can't just really do that every year when you're just consistently good. You kind of have to embrace being that consistently good team.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's what the Bills are, is a consistently good to great team.
Do they also – is it help them not feel the need – to search out the, hey, we're underdogs. The Chiefs do this, don't they? They seek it out. Travis Kelce claiming 2 years ago after winning the Super Bowl that nobody believed in us. One of the most insane comments ever made by an athlete.
right.
Do the Bills not need it because they have the motivation of they haven't won yet?
Yeah, I mean,
that they've been this good and haven't won. Like, maybe if you have won, because you've achieved it, like, you are the ones that need it more. You need to find we're being doubted, because we've already done this three times.
Right.
This is Kansas City. So we got to find it somewhere else. The Bills shouldn't need to find it somewhere else.
Well,
because they just haven't hoisted it yet.
We made this comparison, how many months ago? 4 months ago. And I'll make it again. The Bills are Rory and the Masters. It's not no one thinks you can do it. It's everyone wonders why you haven't.
Yep.
And you actually, with Rory for the Masters, and I know golf is different because golf has multiple majors. So we knew Rory was great. He's one of the greatest of all time, and not like top three, top five, but he's an incredible talent, has been forever. And then, well, will he ever get the thing? He's got the thing that guys that are that good should have, and he doesn't have it. And when he finally did it, it was, I mean, whatever, the iconic reaction he had on the green was a person releasing the pressure of doing a thing that they were supposed to have done. And that's what this team is for the Super Bowl. They're supposed to have gone to one. You'd be in this good. The Ravens are this way too right now. Like, who was it, DVOA? Aaron Schatz had this, like, the best 4 or 5 year stretch of any team in the history of DVOA are the Bills and Ravens of the last 5 years.
Without making a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's right. So, like, you know, you're supposed to have done it by now. So that's where the pressure comes, and you're not an underdog. You are a favorite, and got to get there. So, you know, whatever.
The motivation is to not suffer the embarrassment of not going again, to not have that be true, to not have the graphic up on ESPN that gets booed at our draft party of most wins in NFL history over 5 years without making it to a Super Bowl. Like, they don't want that. They don't want that. I don't think they want that on their resume. They don't want to be remembered for that it's all said and done. And when you've won, you don't have to worry about all of that. The pressure for Kansas City and those guys to win it, it's just not the same at all, because they could bow out in the wild card round this year. And what will people say? Like, oh, they were just tired from going every year.
That's right.
They were just exhausted. They ran out of steam because they had gone to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row.
Yep.
Or whatever. Versus this team, it's just like it's a whole different level of criticism and analysis that they will receive because they haven't won it. Not going.
Well,
not going is insane.
Who's ready? Like, if you want to talk about stars aligning and perfect storylines, and every once in a while we like to do that, right? It'll be midway through the season and someone will say, oh, imagine if the Bills could beat this team, then this team, then this team, and then the Super Bowl, they beat this team. It's a perfect revenge tour.
Yeah.
Allow me, if you will, to lay out the perfect finish to, well, the AFC side of the thing. You can put whoever you want in the Super Bowl, because I don't know if there's a storyline on the NFC side that is perfect, but in the AFC, it's this. The AFC Championship game is here in Buffalo.
Yep.
Against the Chiefs. And the game is for the right to go or have them match the team that didn't quite build that stadium, but Highmark is the 90s Bills going to 4 in a row.
Yeah.
This is the Chiefs' attempt to go to 4 in a row. That game is
okay.
Then you have the AFC Championship game at Highmark, the last game that would ever be played there, and you would also be defending the honor of the team that played there as the only team to go to 4 straight Super Bowls. Maybe that's not perfect because maybe that's too intense, but really, these Bills would be fighting on behalf of those Bills in the final game of the stadium, not the final regular season game, but the real, honest-to-goodness, last game. Is that too intense? Are people breathing heavy? Because people probably already thought of that, and it just hit me for the first time today that could be...
That's your perfect...
Well, I mean, in terms of storylines, no, perfect is the Bills win by 78 points, and they beat the Dolphins in the AFC Championship game because, I don't know. But, man, like, when you start to piece together what it might look like or put yourself in your seat that day, you know, you're carried right back to it where, you know, these seasons, September through December, are about have fun, stay healthy, handle business, have fun. And then in January, it's like, well, it all comes down to this. And I don't know. I mean, you said, like, the Chiefs are tired from going all the time. Are the Bills tired of the same thing, too? Like, that's what David Montgomery said. We're tired of being close. They've done it for 2 years.
Yeah.
The Lions.
I mean, anyway. This is not why I think this, but I don't think the Chiefs are getting to 4 in a row. Let's just say that. I don't think the Chiefs are getting to 4 in a row.
I don't either.
I think, like, that'd be great. That AFC Championship play out. I don't know that I've ever been as confident in two teams going this far and not hitting a road, a stumble along the way. Like, it is going to be the Bills and the Ravens. I've never been more confident of, like, a matchup that deep. Like, it is going to be the Bills and the Ravens.
Yeah.
That someone's going to knock out, one of the two is going to knock out Kansas City. I don't even know which one. But I just think these two teams are so ready to do it. All this talk is included in that too, I guess. The motivation of not having done it yet. I don't know. The division in the AFC West, I think, is going to be really good compared to past years. I've said this, that this is why I think the one seed is so important. I don't think the Bills might have to play Kansas City this year. If they get the one seed, did this a month ago, looking at the path of that one seed every year in the last 5 years, the Bills have never had it.
Yeah.
It is so I don't care about the home field advantage. Give me
one less
the
game.
Path of one less game and not having to play both Kansas City and Baltimore. The advantage of not just getting that first win automatically, but getting to play the AFC South in round two.
Yeah.
Which has been like the case for three straight years or three of the last 4 years, whatever it is. I think you might not have to do it. It'd be great. It'd be a storyline. I think if you were to design in a lab the perfect finish to the stadium, you're probably beating both of them somehow, some way. But you're beating Kansas City at home to go to the Super Bowl. That's the fairy tale. But I don't think they're getting there. I think they're playing Baltimore.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.